Today, this week's parsha, we talk about the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush. Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So the Gemara says in Pesachim Adav Kuv Vav Amid Aleph that we learn from the pasuk of Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho Zachreyu Al Hayayin B'Knisasa. We have an obligation to commemorate, to highlight the fact that today is Shabbos as Shabbos enters. So the Gemara later comes to the conclusion that there's no biblical obligation to make Kiddush on wine. The biblical obligation is just to be Mekadesh B'Dvarim. But we try and elevate the bracha by saying it over a cup of wine. Like the Gemara says, we say many brachas over a cup of wine to try and elevate that bracha that we happen to be reciting. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara. The Rambam in Perek Chavtes from Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Aleph, writes, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah. There is a biblical obligation, L'Kadesh Yom HaShabbos B'Dvarim, to sanctify, to elevate Shabbos with our words, to be Mekadesh it. What do you mean? Shabbos is Kadesh by itself? Don't we know that Shabbos has a Kedusha by itself, whether you like it or not? Shabbos comes every week. The answer is Shabbos becomes a little bit more Kadosh by us highlighting the fact that today is Shabbos. Shanemar, as the Pasuk says in our Parsha, Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Kolomar, says the Rambam, Zachreyu Zachiras Shvach V'Kiddush. We should praise Shabbos, we should recognize, we should pay tribute to the fact that today is Shabbos. V'Tzarech, and now here says the Rambam Machidish, V'Tzarech L'Zachreyu B'Knisaso Uvi Tziyaso. Part of the obligation of Kiddush is to highlight and recognize the fact that Shabbos is different from all the days of the week. That obligation stands both at the beginning of Shabbos, on the onset of Shabbos, and at the very end of Shabbos. Both Kiddush and Havdalah, the Rambam is of the opinion, are a form of Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Havdalah bookends it at the end of Shabbos, and Kiddush is the bookend at the beginning of Shabbos. B'Knisasa B'Kiddush Hayom U'B'Yitziyasa B'Havdalah. So here says the Rambam, the way that we isolate and separate Shabbos from all the other days in the week is by reciting Kiddush at the beginning and by reciting Havdalah at the very end. But what's clear is that Kiddush is an absolute biblical obligation. Whether you say it over a cup of wine is a different story, but simply to say the words of Kiddush is an absolute biblical obligation. It's something that we must do, which leads the Rambam Masecha Shabbos to ask a very obvious question. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel, when I have a toss-up, let's say I don't have a lot of money, and I can only afford to do one mitzvah that's in front of me. So the Gemara says, you have to triage, you have to figure out which one is going to take precedence, which one is more important. Says the Gemara, what if you have the unusual case of somebody who has only a few dollars, and they could either provide for Kiddush on Friday night, or for the Hanukkah candles? Which one comes first? So says the Gemara that we assume that Ner Hanukkah comes first, before the Kiddush. Ask the Ran, why should Ner Chanukah come first? Ner Chanukah is only midrabanan. Everyone agrees it's only midrabanan. Although it's a very important mitzvah midrabanan, and although we're commemorating the holiday and all the miracles that took place so many years ago in the Beis Hamikdash, but bottom line, Ner Chanukah is only midrabanan. How can that take precedence over the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is a mitzvah deraisa? So that's the kasha of the Ran, and that's something that only stems because of the fact that we assume that Kiddush on Shabbos is an absolute mitzvah deraisa, and therefore you can come to question, well, when you have a triage between Ner Chanukah and Kiddush, why should Ner Chanukah win out if, after all, Kiddush might be deraisa? Yeah.
If they're equal, the one before Shabbos and the one after Shabbos, but if you only have enough money for one petful of wine, for one and another two, we also seem to be very lenient with Abdullah, with what you make Abdullah on.
Correct.
So
that's a good question. The Sefer Achinuch discusses that. Why is it that on Friday night we have an option to say Kiddush either over a cup of wine or perhaps on bread, whereas when it comes to Havdalah you can only make it on wine, there's no bread option, but yet when it comes to Havdalah we assume that Chamar Medina is okay. To use beer or something else would be okay. So that's a question that the Sefer Achinuch raises. Maybe we'll talk about it another day, but it is an important question. But simply we understand that Kiddush on Friday night is a biblical obligation based off the pasuk of Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, and because of that, the Rambam says the mitzvah is to separate and to isolate Shabbos from all the other days of the week. Therefore, says the Rambam, Kiddush on the one hand, Havdalah on the other hand, are both a fulfillment of this mitzvah of Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Now, because we assume that Kiddush is a biblical obligation, therefore, let's say you have a situation like this. The Prima Gadim discusses it, and you'll say this case never comes up. This case actually came up, and I was asked the Shaila to ask my father. What happens? Says the Prima Gadim. You have somebody who goes through a whole Shabbos and does not have the opportunity to recite Kiddush, and now they finally have the opportunity to say Kiddush during Ben HaShmashos at the end of Shabbos. So Ben HaShmashos is Safig Yom, Safig Laila. Ben HaShmashos is a time, twilight zone. We don't know, is it now Shabbos or is it not? We're not sure what the status is right now. So the Prima Gadim discusses. You have a person who went through the entire Shabbos and didn't yet have a chance to say Kiddush. So the case we had was somebody who was in the hospital and they weren't thinking at all about Kiddush. It was a very critical story. And then by the time they came back and realized that they should go to the Bikur Cholim room to sit down and have something to eat, it was already at the end of Shabbos, and they went through an entire Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos day. They did not make Kiddush at all. Primogadim says in a case like that, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes as La Halacha Nilchos Kiddush, Shaar Tzion discussed it, that a person should go ahead and recite Kiddush, even though you're 2 minutes before the end of Shabbos. Why would you recite Kiddush now? The answer is because, even though we generally say Ben Ashmashos is a Safeg, but since we're dealing with a Safeg Daraisa, since we're dealing here with a person who is not sure whether or not they fulfilled the biblical mitzvah of Kiddush, therefore they have to do it, even though it might not be Shabbos anymore, but they have to do it anyway. When you take, for example, let's say somebody on Purim is on a shift in the hospital and they weren't able to recite the Megillah, now they come home, Bein Hashmashos at the end of Purim, the din is, you don't have to recite the Megillah at that point because Purim and Mikra Megillah is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. But here, since we're talking about a mitzvah d'Araisa, you have to go ahead and do it when a person is in doubt because we assume Safik d'Araisa l'chumra and Bein Hashmashos, a person would have to recite Kiddush. Let's say on the first day of Sukkot, shaking the lulav is a mitzvah d'Araisa. So if you have somebody who has gone a whole day of Sukkot and not shaking the lulav, again, a patient in the hospital, by the time the rabbi in the hospital? The chaplain comes around with the lulav and esrog. So by the time he gets there, it's already, he has hundreds of rooms to go to. By the time he comes to her room or his room, this person already is holding by Ben Hashmashos. The answer is, if it's the first day of Sukkot and it's a mitzvah d'araisa on that day, you go ahead and you shake the lulav with a bracha, even though it's only a suffix then, because we assume by a mitzvah d'araisa you don't take chances, you always have to err on the side of caution. So that's halacha number one that emerges from the fact that Kiddush happens to be assumed to be a mitzvah d'araisa. Halacha number two, which is of extreme importance and relevance not only to Kiddush but of other areas in halacha as well, is the following. Very often you have a situation where, let's say in most homes, the father of the house or the mother of the house makes Kiddush. When the father's away, so what happens? He goes on a business trip, he's not home for Shabbos, what happens? So you take one of the older children, makes Kiddush for everybody else. So it has to be a child over Bar Bas Mitzvah, who's a Bar Chayuva, and they're able to be Motzi everybody else. What if you have a boy who just became Bar Mitzvah, and the father's not home for Shabbos, or the father's not alive, or whatever it might be, you have a single mother living, she doesn't want to make Kiddush on her own, she wants her child to make Kiddush, she wants to be Mechanichim to make Kiddush. And now she says, we want to designate you to make the Kiddush on behalf of the family. Problem is, this boy just turned Bar Mitzvah, so what's the problem? He's a Bar Mitzvah, he's a Bar Chayuva, not so fast. The story goes as follows. We have a Gemara Meseches Nida, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says the following. Amar Rava, Kitana Shehigia Lechlal Shnoseah. When you have a girl who turns 12, or you have a boy who turns 13, and now they are assumed to be Bar or Bas Mitzvah, says the Gemara, Eina Tzricha Bedika. You don't have to go check whether or not she has pubic hair is growing. You don't have to check. You don't have to send somebody in to make sure that the girl is actually a Gedola, that she's actually a Bas Mitzvah. Chazaka hevia simanim. The Gemara says we can assume, we can estimate, we can speculate just by looking at the girl and assuming that she's 12 years old. That general assumption that when a girl turns 12 or a boy turns 13, we assume that they are already considered to be bar or bas mitzvah, and there is no reason to go ahead and actually have anybody check whether or not there are hairs growing in the private areas of the body. That's what the Gemara assumes. We have a chazaka, we can make an assumption, and that is good enough. So the Rivash, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Sheshas, one of the Spanish Rishonim, lived in the 1300s. The Rivash writes in a tshuva, well, now that the Gemara says we can assume based on this presumption, we have an estimation that most people when they turn 12, most girls are going to be bas mitzvah, most boys when they turn 13 are going to be bar mitzvah, says the Rivash, based on that approximation, chazaka derava means chazaka bruri. It's almost factual. It's absolute. When you have somebody who's 12 or 13 years old, we can assume almost with certainty that the person is a bar or bas mitzvah. For all intents and purposes, says the Rivash, we can assume that way. Sha'arei, and he proves it from the fact that by marriage, we assume once she's 12, she's no longer able to back out, whatever it might be, that's a separate halacha with regard to marriage, but says the Rivash, we assume this to be absolute, without checking anything, without looking anything, we assume that the girl is a bas mitzvah at 12 years old, and that is good enough, that's almost factual. And the Nodibi Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau, lived in the 1700s, again, 400 years after the Rivash, he adopts this opinion as well, and he says, absolutely, once we have this chazaka that the Gemara describes to us, we can assume almost a certainty that the person is considered to be a bar or bas mitzvah, an absolute gadol, absolute bar chayuva, and they have the obligation like everybody else. That's the opinion of the Rivash, and later quoted by the Nodib Yehuda. One of the Talmidim of the Nodib Yehuda was the Chayyadam. Chayyadam was the great Rabbi Avram Danzig. He wrote the Chayyadam, which was basically before the Mishneh Berurah came around. That's what everybody used to use. That's what everybody followed. So the Chayyadam in the 1700s lived into the mid-1800s, points out that this is actually up for a major debate. Not so clear. Not everybody agrees, says the Chayyadam, that once the Gemara tells us that somebody who turns 12 or 13, you can assume that they're a Bar Bas Mitzvah. Not everybody assumes that that's absolute. Some assume that that's only L'chumra. Some assume that we can just say, once you're 12 or 13, once you're considered to be Bar Bas Mitzvah, but we've never checked it out with certainty, that just means you can now be prosecuted, you can now be held accountable for your actions. So take, for example, you have somebody who's now presumed to be a Bar Bas Mitzvah, we can go ahead and prosecute them if they're Mechal Shabbos. But on the flip side, says the Chayyadam, to be Mekel and say that you're going to be the one to be Motzi being Kiddush, you're going to be the one to perform a mitzvah on my behalf, we don't even know if you're a Bar Chiyuva. We don't know with certainty that you're actually a Gadol or a Gedola. We don't know that you're certainly Bar Bas Mitzvah. Nobody went ahead and checked out to make sure that you are actually physically a Bar Bas Mitzvah, and therefore Rabbi Avram Dantzig writes in the Chayyadam, not so clear at all. Don't assume that this is absolute, that once somebody turns 12 or 13, they are considered to be a Gadol or a Gedola, and therefore he says, this is of major consequence to the halacha. And this is not only the opinion of the Chayyadam, this is the opinion as well of the Shev Shmaitza. And it's the opinion of the Rabbi Kiva Eger, not only in his tshuva, but Rabbi Kiva Eger has it on Shulchan Aruch as well. And this seems to be the opinion of the Mishneh Berurah also, that just because the Gemara says that somebody who turns Bar Bas Mitzvah is considered to be a Gadol or Gedola, that doesn't mean that we take it all the way. It doesn't mean that now they have equal footing with everybody else who's a certain Gadol. Now again, if you have a child who's already growing hair on the face or growing a mustache, we know you're a Gadol. You don't have to check anything. That's clear. If you have a girl, says the Gemara, who certain parts of her body are already growing, so we assume she's presumed to be a Gadol already. You don't have to check anything. It's clear. It's obvious. It's evident. But when you don't have such clear evidence, that's exactly what the Gemara is discussing, and that's where the issue is raised. So this is something that's raised by all the Gedolei Achronim. The Avnei Nezer weighs in on the issue as well, and as we said, the Nadi Yehuda talks about and the Rivash and the Chayyadam, and they're all discussing the same issue. What does it mean when our Gemara says in Nida that a child who becomes 12 or 13 is assumed to be a Bar Bas Mitzvah? Does that mean absolutely all the way, almost with certainty? Or does it mean only L'chumra, that we can now prosecute and hold the person accountable for what it is that they may have done? Says the Mishneh Berurah, because we're not sure what exactly the story is with somebody who turns Bar Bas Mitzvah, and because we don't know with certainty, with absolute certainty, that they really are a Gadol or a Gedola, therefore, says the Mishneh Berurah, when it comes to a mitzvah d'araisa that needs to be performed, you cannot rely on that person until you know with certainty that they are a Bar Chiyuva. So let's say we began by saying that Kiddush is a mitzvah d'araisa, like the Gemara says. We learn it from Zechus Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So now you have the father of the house is not home the Shabbos, and you want that the 13-year-old boy just became a Bar Mitzvah, we're so excited, let's have him make the Kiddush. The answer is, perhaps he cannot make the Kiddush. If we don't know with certainty that he is a Bar Mitzvah, he cannot be the one to fulfill the obligation on our behalf. He has to be a Bar Chiyuva, and because we don't know if he's a Bar Chiyuva, this is something that's very questionable because it gets involved in the major discussion of how far we take what we call the Chazaka Derabba. How far do we take it when we assume that somebody is now a Gadol by a certain age? Does that mean with absolute certainty, or does that just mean L'chumra? Certainly by Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, we assume that's a mitzvah daraisa. So let's say the best one who knows that of low shofar in the community is a child who just became bar mitzvah, he's been practicing, he's very into it, they taught him in school. The Acharonim say you cannot have that person be the one to be the Baal Tokei on behalf of everyone in the shul, because after all, he might not be obligated in the mitzvah at all. He might still be a katan. We don't know with certainty that he's obligated. And let's say by tefillah, there's a discussion by tefillah, if you assume that tefillah is a mitzvah d'araisa, which is a discussion in the Rambam and the Ramban, if you assume that tefillah is d'araisa, can the katan be the one to be motzi acherim in a tefillah? So generally that's not so relevant now, because nowadays we have, first of all, we generally assume, most acharonim assume, like the Ramban, that tefillah is only midrabbanan. And even so, most people daven on their own. You don't rely on somebody else to daven for you, so that's not so relevant. But the Magen Avraham discusses it, let's say, by ksivas sefer Torah, or ksivas ha-tefillin. You have a child who's learning safrus, and now he wants to go ahead and write his own tefillin. He just became a bar mitzvah. He wants to write the tefillin on his own. Is that going to be good enough? Gets involved in this discussion as well. Since the ksiva, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah is a mitzvah daraisa, and it has to be uksavtim, it has to be somebody who's a bar ksiva, somebody who's a bar kshira, somebody who's involved in the mitzvah, someone who's obligated to do it. Therefore, perhaps we cannot rely on a child who has just become a bar mitzvah, because after all, we are not certain that that person is an absolute chiyuv. We're not certain that that person is an absolute bar chiyuva. And therefore, when it comes to a mitzvah d'oraisa, we assume that person should not be relied upon. So again, we mentioned that Kiddush starts off as a mitzvah d'oraisa. Whether or not reciting the Kiddush on a cup of wine is d'oraisa, seems to be that it's not. That's what the Gemara teaches us. However, because we assume that Kiddush itself, Kiddush per se, is a mitzvah d'oraisa, therefore there's room to argue that when it comes to a child who has just become a bar mitzvah, perhaps one should not rely on that person being the one to recite the Kiddush on behalf of the family, because after all, we do not know with certainty that that person is a real bar chayuver.